Community Connections, CPMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local, your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections, CKMS.
Happy Monday, Waterloo Region. It is the 17th of April, 2023. Got in the studio Allison Watson and Rowena Samuel from the Canadian Federation of University Women, who will be talking to us about the upcoming CFUW book sale this Friday and Saturday. And we'll chat with them in just a minute. Right now, we're going to be listening to CX Violet, a song called Hacker Boy.
This is real life. Space, we could leave in the night. Driving by the flashing light, till we make it out. And I say, the mainframe, I just wanna be next to you. Run away.
The CFUW-KW, formerly known as the Canadian Federation of University Women, is welcoming donations to its giant used book sale. Proceeds from the sale support scholarships for local students. Drop off your donations of quality used books, audiobooks, CDs, DVDs, and sheet music at First United Church at the corner of King and William Streets in Waterloo from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Wednesday, April 19th, and from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday, April 20th. Learn more about donating items at cfuwkw.org/book-sale.
That's Mary Sale from the CFUW, the Canadian Federation of University Women. I have in the studio with me, Rowena Samuel and
Allison Watson.
Watson.
Hi, thank you.
Sorry about that. Just a little bit of a brain cramp there.
No problem.
Tell me more about the CFUW.
Well, we're an organization that's part of across Canada. There's over 100 clubs across Canada. We have about 200 members, and we just celebrated our 100th anniversary last year.
Hmm.
So the club's been around for about 100 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How did it get started?
It got started with a group of women that were really looking at ways that they could improve the lives of women, support for education for women. So started in 1919, so after World War I. So it's been around for a long time. We've got a very vibrant club. involved in a lot of different aspects.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's multiple aspects to the CFUW. There's, you know, the charitable aspect to the CFUW, and there's also a whole social aspect. So there's a lot of interest groups in CFUW that have been running a very long time. There's dinner groups, there's book clubs, there's all sorts of interest groups that you can join as well. So as well as supporting a charitable cause and helping the lives of women and women studying at universities and schools, it also has that sort of charitable, that social aspect to it as well.
Yeah. University women aren't students, are they?
I mean, if you are a student, you can join. I mean, it used to be, it was started exclusively as university women, but obviously as times change, anyone can join the club now. Huh. So we've actually rebranded recently and we've dropped the university out the name. So it's actually just the Canadian Federation of Women now, as opposed to university women, because it creates the impression that it's an exclusive club for people who've been through university, but really it's not not the case. Anyone can join. And
I thought it was for university alumni, and so obviously that's not the case any longer.
No, and that's why we're trying to clarify and go by CFUW instead of the full name. And really any woman in the community who supports our general cause and principles are very welcome to join.
Right. There are chapters all over the place, because I was invited to speak at a CFUW campaign at Brantford. A few years ago now, 2019. Very well organized. So I get the impression that CFUW knows what they're doing.
Well, after 100 years, hopefully.
Indeed. And how long have you been running the book sale locally here?
This is our 56th year.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. That's been around for a while, too.
Yep. So we missed 3 years during COVID. But yes, no, it's been a big success. Traditionally, we used to have things like tea parties. Those were the fundraisers. But started the book sale, and it was so well accepted by the community that it's become our key fundraiser.
Yeah, I've been there.
And I think that it's actually one of the most successful book sales that any of the CFW clubs actually has. It's very big. It raises a lot of money compared to other events that different clubs do.
Yeah. So quick rundown. This is taking place...
It starts Wednesday and Thursday this week, where people drop off their donations of used books and audio books, CDs, DVDs, sheet music, and we sort it. We've got about 350 time slots where members and others are volunteering time, so we sort all the books, and then Friday and Saturday morning is when the sale is, so Friday all day and Saturday morning.
Right. And it's taking place where?
At First United Church at the corner of King and William in Uptown Waterloo.
Right, that's a nice spot for it.
Yes.
Yeah, the church does lots of things for the community, and so it's good to see that they're continuing to host the book sale.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So what do you do in the book sale itself? I mean, you're here as spokespeople for the whole event, but there must be more to it than that.
Well, I'll start. I'm going to be there. I've voluntold my husband as well. So we're going to be there on Thursday helping to sort books. And then on Friday, going to be there during one of the sales shifts, so helping to sell the books.
So. Okay. And how many people would be doing that?
We probably, as I said, we got about 350 time slots that are being filled, and I think we probably have about 120 members of volunteers.
Yeah, during the days of the sale, we have about four shifts that people work, because the sale runs on Friday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So each of those days, on Friday we have four shifts, on Saturday we probably have about two shifts. And each of those shifts need about 14 or 15 people to man them. Plus we have student volunteers who come and help tidy the tables and resort the books, because everything gets torn apart, obviously, when you've got people in there looking through books. And then there would be the people who are actually in charge of running the sale, in charge of the sales, in charge of the book sale itself, that are supervising everything and looking after the operations of the book sale. So it takes a fair bit of effort to run the book sale, and a fair few people to actually...
And those are just the days of. Are you doing
those are the days of the
sale. And you're doing that as well?
I'm signed up for... I work full-time, so I'm signed up for a shift on Friday late in the day because of my work commitments. But I'm trying right now, actually. After this, I have to go back and I have to ping my manager. My company allows me to take a day off for charitable work every year. I'm planning to take the whole of Friday off and just be there to fill in and to help out. Yeah.
Right. How long ago did the planning for today's event or this week's event start?
It starts actually round about September of the year before. We have a lot of procedures because it's been run for so many years. There's a certain way that we've done things for so many years, and there's defined ways and people that we know and contacts to organize everything through. But the challenge is every year that, you know, things are changing with technology. Things are changing in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. One of the weird things we had a challenge with this year is that we, because we have a lot of elderly women who work at the book sale and they're not really good at lifting weights,
yeah.
We use shopping trolleys to move books around during the sorting phases. But it's been really hard to get them this year because now shopping trolleys are becoming electronic and you can't take them off the premises,
right.
And a lot of supermarkets don't stock them anymore. So there's things like that are changing with technology and with society as it changes that we have to adapt to, yeah. Every year. But, yeah, it takes a lot of planning and a lot of organization, and we really do start when the club starts up in September of, yeah. The year, and then obviously it gets busier and busier as the book sale approaches.
Yeah, and is it all over and done with Saturday afternoon? Are you finished?
It is, but after everyone's gone at 1 o'clock, we have to do the cleanup. And normally, myself and my husband help out with the cleanup. We can't do that this year. My husband's had shoulder surgery, so dumping, you know, carting, yeah. All those books out and putting them in the back of a truck or whatever is not something, yeah. That we can actually do.
I'm sure there must be some accounting and administration work that takes place afterwards as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And hopefully that doesn't take till September.
Oh, no. No, one of my roles is I get to give the money out to the students who we use the funds for. So we should know exactly how much money we've made by a few days afterwards, and then, yeah, we'll be able to start investing that money and making it work.
So let's talk about that. You're collecting money. Can I be so bold as to ask, approximately how many digits of money do you collect?
Historically, we've made probably somewhere in the $30,000 a year on the book sale.
Okay.
And so we've invested that money over the years. We also get donations from members and from friends and family of members.
Okay.
So I'm responsible as one of the trustees of our charitable fund. So it's a registered charity. Uh-huh. And... We currently are paying out about $60,000 a year in scholarships to local students.
Wow. And that's not done directly, you said, through the CFUW. There is...
It's our charitable arm.
Charitable arm.
Yeah, okay. Of that.
And like a separate registered organization?
Yes, a registered charity, so we can issue tax receipts for people that donate.
Yeah. And a quick look at the web page here. We've got the Power of Un working together, the CFUW from Kitchener-Waterloo. And amongst other things, there's a tag here for scholarships, and that's what this particular fundraiser is going towards.
Yes, yeah. To support the scholarship. So we have 15 different awards that we give out at the high schools, St. Louis Adult Learning Center, the KW Junior Symphony, Conestoga College, Wilfrid Laurier, and UW. So.
Okay. Lots of beneficiaries.
Yes,
that's good. And there must be other fundraisers that are done for other good causes?
Well, the education awards is really our main focus, and so that is what we do. Now, I don't know if you looked at this morning's newspaper, but there was an article in there about Lisa LaFlamme.
Yes.
And so our club organized that evening event, and Lisa very graciously didn't charge us anything for her appearance. And she did a fabulous job. So the funds that we raised there went to two of Lisa's organizations that she's associated, Canadian Women for Women in Afghanistan and Journalists for Human Rights. But then also the money raised is going to our own charity.
Right. And so this is a successful event.
Oh, it was very successful.
I can imagine Lisa LaFlamme
would have tracked. Extremely successful. Yeah. It was a very good event, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Sold out about how far in advance?
We started selling tickets early February, and they were sold out by the end of February. So,
and I think could have probably sold double the tickets, to be really honest with you. But the challenge around Kitchener-Waterloo is finding a venue that has the atmosphere and the number of people that it can seat, right?
What location did you use for this then?
We ended up using the ballroom down at the Doubletree
down on Fairway Road.
Yeah, which is quite nice. They've renovated it up, and the food was good.
They did a very nice job.
Yeah, I've been there too, so.
You get around.
I do. All right, so that's this organization here, but the other chapters of CFUW, have any idea what they're promoting, where they're directing their interests?
Most of them, pretty well all of the chapters across Canada do some form of scholarships to the students in their area. That's really, women's education was really at the forefront of why we started up.
I think the one thing that we haven't mentioned that is also a part of the club is we do actually have an advocacy committee. And we champion certain causes each year that we select. And that's really based around what ladies in the club are interested in advocating for. So that's part of what the club stands for too and what the club does as well. In terms of other events during the year, really the book sale is our major fundraiser right now, but we are moving into looking at having some other events because at the end of the day, you know, things change and right now our book sale is producing the same amount of funding every year, but we don't know if that's going to continue into the future. Technology changes, things change. So we're looking at introducing some more fundraising activities. It's not a fundraising activity, but one of the other things that we do each year too is, and I forget what the event is called, but it's basically clothing donation for women in need. We have a little event. Everyone brings in their clothes to help clothe women professionally who are looking for jobs and looking for work in the marketplace and maybe don't have money to purchase those clothes themselves, etc.
Make that good first impression, land the job and then...
Yeah, there's some of that, and we're involved in some of the vigils for different causes around town. So it's a very active club with a lot of different causes, and I think that if there's something that you're passionate about and you really believe in, there's the opportunity for you to advocate for that in CFW.
Right. You said that you're accepting things other than books for the book sale.
Yes.
Oh. So there are things we do accept and things we don't accept. So firstly, if you're going to donate books, we appreciate it very, very much, but we must take books that are in good condition. We can't take things with torn binding. We can't take things particularly that have mold or must in them, and that's because of allergies that people have and even allergies amongst the people who are sorting the books. Unfortunately, if you give us books like that, there's really nothing that we can actually do with them, and it's straight into a skip bin, and it's very sad, but that's just
the
way it
is. I've seen that happen. I've been there at the end of the book sale and saw the big bin full of books.
It's getting better. We're getting better because we're getting better at making people aware of what we can and can't take. We can't take magazines or anything like that, but we do take DVDs, CDs, sheet music, that sort of thing. And
vinyl
reference
discs?
Books we don't take. No, we're not this year. We've had them in the past, but this year no vinyl. And I think the challenge with that is that it's very easy to damage. We ended up in some years, like I picked through vinyl because I collect vinyl myself. Okay. And in some years, there were some very special, Scottish Highland fling dancing, singing Neil Diamond kind of albums that no one was going to buy. We don't take vinyl this year.
As a radio station, we've got a bunch of stuff that we're actually donating away as well. So if anybody's interested, come by the studio. You're at the 283 Duke Street, first floor. And just look outside the door of the studio and you'll see a couple of bins of CDs and LPs there. So maybe you'll bring the CDs across to the CFUW book collection or CD collection event on Friday and Thursday, I think.
Wednesday and Thursday for drop-off.
Okay, Wednesday and Thursday for drop-off.
Yeah, and drop-off is from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Wednesday, Thursday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Right. We have to cut it off at 6 p.m. because we only have 3 hours to sort what arrives right on 6 p.m. and get it out on the tables, right?
Yeah, and then... people start up at what time in the morning? What time do the volunteers arrive to get things going?
Around about 8 a.m.
8 a.m.
For a 9 a.m. start. And we get, like in the past, I don't know what it's going to be like this year because we haven't had it for 3 years. So we'll have to see if people remember.
Yeah.
But we used to get lines out the front, you know, down the road, around the block, even in rainy weather, to come in and to get the books because, you know, it's a bargain. It's a bargain for a good quality book or a box of good quality books to read. The amount that you pay for them if you go to a bookstore now is astronomical, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. So looking forward to the bargains, you can go there. You're not going to get the most recent stuff, though.
You will. Yes, we do. We do find there's an awful lot of the recent books. A lot of people read a book once and then they're done with it. So.
Oh, okay. That's I can't do that.
No.
So I'm a very book donor, but I'm a great book shopper.
We welcome all.
Yes. So do you find that there is still enough reading happening? People are still reading books, or is everybody just going online and looking at their phones?
I think it depends. We really do find that people still want to buy books and still want to read them, especially children's books. Children's books are very popular. People still want their children to read, and I think that's really important to a child's development. But, you know, I myself know that I don't read as much as I used to, right, because I do spend time on my phone now. And actually, I'm a little disappointed in myself that I don't read as much, because I think that it's a little sad. But, you know, it's just one of those things with changing technology, right? Mm-hmm. So, but it doesn't seem to be any lack of interest in the book sale at this point in time. And we do see young people and university students in there buying up lots of books from the tables, right, and asking for specific books that they want to read.
So I'm just curious whether or not, if you've seen a decline, I guess, from 4 years ago, that people aren't coming out in droves like they used to, or if there's been a switch to people buying more of the CDs and easily consumable media rather than the books themselves.
Well, certainly when we don't have this year's experience under our belt yet, but the few years before the pandemic, we were a bit worried, but we were still having excellent turnout and excellent buying of books. So
I think we'd be lying if we said we weren't worried, but we haven't seen that downturn yet. And I think that ultimately books will become like vinyl is becoming at the moment. They'll be more collectible even, you know, people will want paper books. And at the end of the day, if you don't have a lot of money, a paper book is still the cheapest way to read a book because you can pass it around between person to person. And I understand that as an author, you want to make money on every single copy and every single read that your book gets. So digital books are really valuable for you in terms of your earnings. But
I don't think authors get paid nearly as much for the digital
books.
Publisher.
Yeah.
And the paper books last close to forever. I mean, you can still read 1,000-year-old manuscripts.
My neighborhood is full of book boxes.
Yeah?
Full of book boxes. Yeah.
And do you know if there's a lot of circulation amongst those
there seems
libraries?
To be. Yeah? Yeah, there's always books in them being topped up and taken. Yeah.
Because it's give one, take one, I'm never at one of those boxes when I've got something to donate. So, you know, I look through them all the time and very rarely take anything because I haven't got anything on me to give back at the time. Let's have a quick listen here to Kwasi, who complains that he's addicted to Instagram, which seems just a little bit appropriate here. This is Kwasi.
Listen. Think I'm addicted to Instagram. I am. I know I am, I know I am.
Likes, follows,
think I'm addicted to Instagram.
So addicted.
I am. Said I'm addicted to Instagram.
Can I scroll down your time?
I know I am.
Can I scroll down your time?
Think I'm addicted to Instagram. Scroll with my Insta hand. Right-handed bandit, I double tap it, then scroll again. Swear my feet, boy, it never ends. At this for hours, man, I've been finished my dinner. But Daquan has me dying, fam. Plus, I just hit search again. And you know what that means. I can thumb through suggesting upon suggesting pictures for me. Throwing paper planes of all my finds to the family. Now they telling me I'm blowing up the phones. I got a limit for the week. I should go to sleep, but I can't stop. I be tweaking when it recess to the top. Oh, you just posted this now, well, what you got? Grandma says I'm always on my phone, carpal tunnel is what you cop, loving Instagram. I am. Say I'm in love with the Instagram. I know I am.
Likes, follows,
think I'm addicted to Instagram.
So addicted.
I am. Say I'm addicted to Instagram.
Can I scroll down your time?
I know I am. Think I'm addicted to Instagram. First step is admitting though, loving it like golden arches, but mocking like indigo. Make me laugh, then I follow. If you hot, I might follow. But if you at more than half a milli, believe I don't follow. That's just my motto. When I purge and I be skipping through your page. Hit my twist, been moving cross, I wipe a lay. Lock my phone to a bunch of notifications. Goes down in the DMs, my Insta wife have a wedding. Go live on vacations, dropping pins on locations, trying to extend my Insta fam into Insta nation. I don't really tweet, Facebook's not for me. Only social media, I'm flexing with IG. I'm addicted to Instagram. I am. Say I'm addicted to Instagram. I know I am.
Likes, follows,
think I'm addicted to Instagram.
So addicted,
I am. Say I'm
I know I am. Can I scroll down your think I'm addicted to Instagram?
Instagram, 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 Instagram.
The giant used book sale is back after a 3-year pandemic hiatus. Replenish your bookshelves at CFUW-KW's 56th giant used book sale and help local students through your purchases. Formerly known as the Canadian Federation of University Women, the CFUW will be selling books, CDs, DVDs, and sheet music. Join us Friday, April 21st from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and on Saturday, April 22nd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at First United Church at the corner of King and William Streets in Waterloo. Proceeds fund scholarships for local students.
And that's your cure if you're addicted to Instagram. You go to the book sale, buy a book, and read that instead of scrolling your timeline. Got in the studio with me Allison Watson and Rowena Samuel from the Canadian Federation of Women, no longer the Canadian Federation of University Women.
CFUW.
Yes. So Canadian Federation of University Women.
But the short form, CFUW.
Oh, so it's still CFUW.
Yes.
But we're just not saying the word university
right.
anymore. Okay.
Yeah. So, I meant boo-boo when I said it was CFW.
Yes. You've got some other advocacy work that you're doing in addition to scholarships.
Yes, Rowena had mentioned providing clothing to people in the community. Mm-hmm. So it's something called Open Closet, and we take clothing donations, and through the social agencies across KW, they invite some of their contacts to come, and they can pick up clothing that they need, women, men's, and children clothing, to help people. We also do little random acts of kindness, working often with the homeless community. So St. John's Kitchen, connecting up with them, finding out what the needs are. So that could be perhaps we collected small toiletry items recently, our members, and then out of the cold items like that.
Okay, out of the cold is out of the same church, isn't it?
Yes, First United.
Yeah.
We also do the December 6th vigil. We've been working with UW on that for the past number of years, so putting that together to honor the young girls in Quebec.
Right.
And then we have a strong advocacy group, affirmative action group, and as Rowena mentioned, it's often based on the interest of members of our committee. They're currently working on aging and long-term care, some concerns with that, which I think has become really much more apparent during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Housing is another issue. Oh, environment is an
big
issue.
Yeah, that's big, too.
Mm-hmm. So some very dedicated women in our club who spend a lot of energy trying to make things better for people.
And so by the sounds of it, it isn't just all financial donations to other organizations. There's actually some actual work being done.
Yes.
Yeah, great.
So, and then the financial is an important aspect as well, obviously, for the club.
Everybody can use money, that's for sure.
Well, especially students.
So. Yes.
Yes.
What are the criteria for people receiving university scholarships?
It varies. So we do have 15 different types of scholarships that we have. So there's two that are given every year at the local high school. So one is to the top student in chemistry, top female student in chemistry, and the other one is to the top female graduating student. And those have been going on for decades, six decades for the other one.
Right.
The ones we have bursaries that go to practical nursing students at Conestoga College, as another example. The one at the KW Junior Symphony, I noticed you were interested in that. That's for a young string player of talent who's looking to continue their studies. And that's in memory of one of our members' sons, who was a very talented string player and unfortunately died at a young age before he reached his potential. So we've got a real blend of items, and it varies, the amount varies depending on sort of the level of the student as well.
Right.
But no, it's really great the amount of students that we're able to help. So it's about 60 students a year that we help. With awards across all the high schools and up to graduate studies.
Right. And this is all within Waterloo Region?
Yes,
And I guess the other chapters will do it for their own areas.
Yes.
Are they all supporting scholarships, all the other chapters, or do they have their own? different interests.
I believe all of them do have scholarships of some nature. Okay. Most of them don't have as many as we do. Often they'll just have two or three in their community.
That's sort of what I was expecting here. So I'm very happy to hear that it's spread much wider than that.
Yeah. No, it's a great pleasure I have of sending out money to all those students. And it's, the money helps them, but it's also the recognition.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something to put down on your CV when you've graduated.
Yes. You know, and reaffirmation that the amount of work you've put in is recognized and appreciated.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's always understood by the students when they're in their academic life that people do understand that they're putting in a lot of hard work and it will eventually pay off.
That's right.
Yeah. So back to the book sale. Rubina, you were saying something about the books themselves. You've got some criteria for the books as well.
For accepting books or for selling books?
For accepting, for selling books. You said something about pricing the
books. Oh, yes. So prices are, this year are going to be about $3 for hardback books and large format books and $2 for other books. On Saturday, we tend to want to move as many books as we can out of the ones that are left. They start to get a little bit picked over on the second day. So we sell by box. So bring your own box, or we have boxes there for you. $15 for as many books as you can fit in a box. And yes, we have had people abuse that in the past. Yeah. I remember one year we had a gentleman turned up with the lower half of a refrigerator box. we didn't charge him extra that year. I think we probably would now. But you know, at the same time, I mean, I think he had his own challenges after he filled that refrigerator box because he couldn't move it anywhere.
That's got to be, you know, a half a ton of books in a box that size.
He had traveled there on the bus and he wanted to get back on the bus to get home. He had to call his mates until he found someone who could come and help him get. It was very funny, actually. So it was
$15 for a box of books.
Yep.
But no boxes on wheels.
No boxes on wheels, and a realistic size box, please. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
If you can carry it in your arms and walk out the door, you can fill it for $15,
right.
I think.
Right. What about the other items? The CDs, for example.
I think they all fall into the $2 category.
$2.
Okay. And is there a bulk special on those as well?
You could perhaps persuade us. I mean, once the sale gets underway, I know that myself and my colleague, when I was in head of sales some years, we'd walk the floor and we'd grab boxes and we'd pack them. We'd pack a box with mystery books, or we'd pack a box with books that were books that had been made into movies or something. Or we'd take a table and we'd lay out books that were something that someone would recognize because they'd seen the film about it or whatever, and we'd sort of shout out across the room, you know, we've got this box here, does anyone want it for this much money, and that sort of stuff. And sometimes we do that. It really just depends on how the books are moving, how busy it is, who's in the room, and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, sometimes we're negotiable, I guess, but we need all the money for our charities that we can, right?
Is the layout of the sales area set up that way as well?
So we have three rooms. We have the main gymnasium room, which is mostly the hardback books, etc., and the larger format books. And then we have the smaller cloak room that this year I think is going to be, children's books. And is it nonfiction?
Nonfiction, I
believe. Nonfiction. And then I think we have the chapel, and the chapel's going to be children's books and paperback, smaller paperback format books, I think.
And then, so for example, in the gymnasium, will you have stuff sorted alphabetically or by category, Dewey Decimal Number?
We get so many books. So we were just talking about this before we came in today, and I was saying, has anyone ever counted the number of books that we actually get? Because we've trimmed down the number that we put on the tables. We used to have like six deep rows of books, and it was overwhelming that you had to search through. So we've trimmed down, you know, with our sorting over the years and learning what people are going to buy and what people are not going to buy. So it's a little bit more manageable now, but there is no way. We figure we get at least 50,000 books donated, and it could even be close to 100,000.
That's the size of a small library.
Right? So there is no way that we can sort alphabetically or by author or anything like that. We have them by category. So we might have a category for self-help. We might have a category for humor. We might have a category for classic literature. And that's the way that we sort the books. And then you just have to go and dig through them. And I've been working the sale, and I've had lovely people come up to say, I really want this book. I'm looking for this book. Have you seen it anywhere? And I'll go, yeah, I did see. We do have two copies of that, but I have no idea where it is. And I'll look for an hour and I have no hope of finding it, right? Because they move around too and people pick them up and we resort and reorganize and tidy up the tables. Books move around. So you just got to come and dig through, take your time, give yourself plenty of time. And there are some treasures in there to find for sure, though, right?
Would you do things like put gardening books in one corner and
we do.
Carpentry books in another?
We do, and coffee table books are usually pulled out and put in a separate area. Yeah,
I guess those wouldn't necessarily fit on the table with the other books.
Yeah, we used to have a special room for dealers for a long time, but we got away.
Oh, really?
We eliminated that because it was kind of exclusive. And the dealers were a little bit upset, I think, the first year that we eliminated that. But they've gotten used to digging through everything in the main room. And we sort stuff out enough for them to look through stuff. And there was always a risk when we had that separate room that we would miss things in the main room that should have been in the dealer's room. So in a way, you know, it takes them a little bit longer to go through stuff. But they have access to everything that's on the book sale and they get to see everything, right?
Exactly. And it means that everybody coming in who's not a dealer gets access to everything.
Everyone
as well.
Gets the opportunity. Everyone gets the opportunity to get a good book.
It is interesting, the sign of the times. There aren't as many used book dealers as there used to be, bookstores, but we still have some very loyal and active ones, and they're the ones that will be lining up to get in at 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and they come with a team, and the team have a list of here are the books that we are looking for.
Oh, really?
So they have people that are going through and actually identifying books and pulling them. So
not being sorted alphabetically. This is a fairly big job.
Fairly big job for they're successful. They love coming to the book sale and they can really restock their stores.
Well, but certainly, as you said, it's a sign of the times. We see less dealers. We see less secondhand bookstores.
That's why I was wondering whether just the art of reading is declining.
Yeah, I think a lot of the books, too, now don't go through physical premises and bricks and mortar establishments. They go online, too, you know.
Yeah, that's too bad, too. Also, I think that books aren't nearly the quality that they used to be. You know, you get these glue bindings instead of, a nice hand-stitched bound book. Mm-hmm. And I don't think those books are going to last. They're going to, break their spines and fall apart after only a few readings.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. I bought two little paperbacks just for an easy summer read recently. And boy, did they get mangled while I was traveling.
That's from a single read.
Well-traveled,
but well-traveled,
but really mangled.
That's too bad. It's there's an art to making the books as well as writing them. And those arts are all being lost, I'm afraid. Yeah. Because people are addicted to Instagram. You have something else that you wanted to cover? You said something about...
Oh, one of the things just of general interest about our club, as Rowena mentioned, the social connection is an important part for our members. So we have about 200 members, and people join our club for different reasons. I joined because I was looking for a book club. Some of the other people have joined for different reasons. So our club, we've got bridge groups that meet regularly. We've got food's a large part of our organization, so a lot of dining groups, hiking groups, cycling groups, you name it. So somebody recently wanted to start up a sketching group, so they started that up. So it's a great way to meet other women who have similar interests and maybe improve your skills. I'm part of a French conversation group trying to keep my French up, so... different things.
How often do they meet?
It depends on the group. So most of them meet just once a month.
Okay.
And then we also have a general meeting once a month, which brings in a speaker for different interests.
Okay. What sort of speakers do you have for that?
The speaker we have tomorrow night is an author of a hiking book. I'm trying to remember her name. She's a local author.
Okay.
So she's going to talk about her hiking, and we've had other ones, whether it touches on the environment. We had Alex Moustakas come and talk from Drayton about what they were doing, particularly about the student program that they have developed up there. So it's a wide range of interests.
Okay, that's interesting. And these are open only to the members of CFUW?
Yes, and they're often held in people's homes. So if you've got bridge group, then you meet in somebody's home.
Yeah, finding venues is difficult.
Yes.
Even for small things.
I think it's a common reason for people to get involved in the club is the social aspect. I know that I moved to this town in 2006, and I joined CFUW in 2007 because I was just looking to make new connections and meet new people, because as an outsider in Kitchener-Waterloo, I mean, it is very hard to meet new people, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been involved in many dinner groups because I like to cook, wine groups because I like to drink, book groups because I like to read. And travel groups, because I like to travel. And they've been, actually the travel group was terribly useful for planning future holidays, because you'd be able to talk to people who'd traveled to places and understand what you wanted to see and where you wanted to go, right? Yeah. So,
how did all that go during the last 3 years with the pandemic and stuff? I mean,
we became very good at Zoom.
Ah.
So our monthly meetings were held by Zoom. Our dining group we actually did by Zoom. People ordered takeout, and then we would eat in front of the computer with our friends.
Send everybody a menu, and we all ordered the same thing.
Yeah. Well, we tried doing that, and then we live different areas of Kitchener-Waterloo, so that didn't work out too well.
Egg rolls for everybody.
Egg rolls for everyone, and I know our the bridge groups were able to move to the online bridge game.
I guess you could do some of those things like interactively on a computer.
So it wasn't nearly as fulsome an experience, but it certainly kept us well connected during the time.
I know that some cases, musicians especially, who are just completely out of work and had nowhere to turn to, and some of them turned to online performances. But that's not the same as actually earning money going to a venue that pays you.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and getting that feedback from the audience. I know even when we had speakers at our monthly meetings, it was really hard for them because they were just speaking to the computer and couldn't really get that feedback from the audience about if people were engaged. And
yeah, and I'm still working, and I actually changed my role during the pandemic. And you're very right about that. You know, when you're presenting to an audience and you're presenting via Zoom or Teams or something like that, you really feel like you're talking into a black hole. You have no idea if anyone's even listening on the other end of the call,
right? You don't get the feedback.
You don't get the feedback. You don't know if you're successful or not. Yeah. You have to really try hard to have some interaction when you're online, right?
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of my work is still online. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things about radio, you know. It's we could do our radio stuff all remotely through the computer and not actually have to be in the studio. We've just opened up the studio again in the last couple of months, so nice to be back here, actually. So, Let's play another bit of music. I'm going to play Saturday Night by Natalia Valencia, because I'm sure you'll be celebrating Saturday Night when it's all over and done.
Yes.
Yeah. So Natalia will be coming into the studio at some point, too. This is Saturday Night.
Didn't know. Would end up changing my whole life. The butterflies found a place to land as I walked through the door and shook your hand. Something about you felt so familiar. It's like I'd known you 4 years before. Never been to this side of town.
Natalia Valencia, who's coming into the studio on Monday, June the 5th for a live in-studio performance. That'll be fun. So I've got in the studio with me Allison Watson and Rowena Samuel from the CFUW, which is the Canadian Federation of Women. Know you. And they'll be holding the book sale starting Wednesday for the book collection. And then that goes on Wednesday and Thursday. And Friday, don't to get rid of them all again by selling them. When does this happen? This is Friday, the 21st of April.
Yep, this Friday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. The sale is on at the First United Church in downtown Waterloo. And again on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Right. And book collection is on Wednesday and Thursday?
Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. You can drop off your books at the back door of the church. And on Thursday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Right. We do have a hard cutoff at 6 p.m. though.
Right. So if you don't get it in by then, you've got to hold on to it for another year. Yes. And they're not just books?
CDs, DVDs, sheet music. We're not taking reference books. We're not taking damaged books. We're not taking vinyl this year.
Well, come by the studio for your vinyl then. Got some online stuff happening here as well. I'm looking at the CFUWK-W website. Facebook site, rather, where you've got some featured stuff, probably some events happening, some posts. And I see here that have the images from the Lisa LaFlamme dinner from
That was just last Thursday. Yes. So, yes, that's pretty good turnaround. I hadn't looked at the Facebook.
Yeah. Nice venues. Some lovely purple colors for those people who can't see this on the radio.
They had some pretty wild lighting, actually, that was flashing around the ceilings. We first went in and went, whoa.
That's what you get for getting a professional venue like that. That's always nice for the aesthetics, yeah.
So it was a very good event. Lisa LaFlamme spoke. It was very interesting. It was sort of a chat-style event. We covered a lot of topics and raised some additional money for CFUW as well for the other charities, the Lisa Flame, et cetera, and the attendees supported.
We managed a good surprise for Lisa because the person she thought was the MC wasn't actually, and Jeff Hutchison, who you may be familiar with, he actually flew in from PEI to be the...
I know the name.
The interviewer for Lisa LaFlamme.
He was local as well as on Canada AM for quite a number of years.
Got all the celebrities out.
Yes, and good support from a lot of our local politicians as well, and the new chief of police was out, so it was a good turnout from the community.
What other events are you planning in the upcoming future?
Well, our club basically does generally sort of slow down to a quiet pace over the summer. Recovering from the Lisa LaFlamme event and then the book sale that are back-to-back almost. So be fairly quiet, and then, as Rowena said, we're looking at different options. We'll be looking forward to next spring's book sale and possibly doing something this fall, but nothing firmed up yet.
Okay. Well, when you get something, let me know, and I'll stick it on the announcements list and get it some additional publicity. That goes for anybody who's got an event going on in the neighborhood. Mary Sale, who contacted us through a press release, said that, we've got this stuff. Can you put it on as a public service announcement? I said, well, sure, if you record your own public service announcement, which she then did. So she's got a future in radio. In fact, that goes for anybody else as well. If you do have an event going on with your organization, give us an email at office@radiowaterloo.ca and let us know what it's all about. Make sure you provide, all the five W's, who it's for and what it's about, where it's taking place and when. And then we can create a public service announcement for you as well. So get that on the radio. Let's have another listen to the public service announcement that Mary did for the book collection, rather. And then we'll have a listen to that. This is the Donations PSA.
The CFUW-KW, formerly known as the Canadian Federation of University Women, is welcoming donations to its giant used book sale. Proceeds from the sale support scholarships for local students. Drop off your donations of quality used books, audiobooks, CDs, DVDs, and sheet music at First United Church at the corner of King and William Streets in Waterloo from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Wednesday, April 19th, and from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday, April 20th. Learn more about donating items at cfuwkw.org/book-sale. The Giant Used Book Sale is back after a 3-year pandemic hiatus. Replenish your bookshelves at CFUWKW's 56th Giant Used Book Sale and help local students through your purchases. Formerly known as the Canadian Federation of University Women, the CFUW will be selling books, CDs, DVDs, and sheet music. Join us Friday, April 21st from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and on Saturday, April 22nd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at First United Church at the corner of King and William Streets in Waterloo. Proceeds fund scholarships for local students.
That was Mary Sale who contacted us initially, and that's how you can create a PSA for your organization as well. Yeah, I think Mary's got a future in this.
Yeah.
At the First United Church, that's been around for ages, and you've been doing the book sale there for ages. How does that work? I mean, it's a busy building. Do you have to book this a year in advance?
Yes, that's generally basically when we're finished 1 year sale, we set the date for the next and immediately set aside the space for us. So okay. It is a busy venue, and actually this year they've expanded some of their education classes that they're giving, so we're having a little bit less space than we've had historically. But we're still have that main hall, which is our...
It may be a nice ramp up coming back after a few years' absence.
Yes.
Yes. Give you a bit of a respite from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have the same volunteers that you had 3 years ago, or do you have to train a bunch of new recruits?
I think most of the people who are working in the book sale this year have worked it before. They're all members who have been members of the club for an awfully long time. We might have some newer members who are first timers there. The people that we really have to train up every year are the student volunteers that we get. But they're wonderfully hardworking, a lot of them, and they really do help us out a lot with sorting and moving books and things that it's harder for some of the ladies to do, right?
Get the young bodies to move the heavy books.
Yeah. Probably one of the things I should mention is that traditionally the sale has been a cash and possibly check sale, but this year we do have the capability to, we've moved into the new millennium, and we have the capability to take both debit and credit card. We're using Square, so you know, we'll be able to do that as well this year, which is good. And we can give charity receipts to charities who buy books from us, right? So we can give a receipt to those, right?
There's probably a minimum purchase for the charity receipts?
I don't remember, actually. I'm not quite sure.
Okay, well. Check with the folks at CFUW. We'll have all their contact information up on our show notes, which you can see at radiowaterloo.ca/CCC as soon as I get them written up. And I'm a few episodes behind, so that may take a few days, but I'll certainly have it up by Wednesday when the book collection begins. So if you have any questions, you can look at radiowaterloo.ca/CCC and get the contact information for the CFUW book sale and all their information. So this is Friday, April the 21st.
Yep, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Yeah. And Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Right. Yep. You've been at the First United Church for all 56 years of the book sale? Has the church been around that long?
This church has been around for longer than that, I believe.
It must have had some renovations, because not everything looks...
it doesn't. I joined about the same time as Rowena, so I'm not sure. I know that has been our location for our meetings
Since before for a very long time, I think. Yeah, so you know, we have a lot of volunteers who work in the area that we're having the book sale. We have a bag check for people who want to leave stuff at the front desk and don't want to carry it around in the book sale, or buy books in one room and then want to go look in another room. You don't have to carry around heavy bags of books. You can leave it without our bag check people. It's very streamlined because we've been doing it for so many years. We kind of have a system where we check what's being purchased. You know, we have a little receipt system. It's very casual, you know. We say goodbye on the way out the door.
Yeah, you said something about the new members. Maybe you can just quickly cover how a person can join CFUW. It's open to not just university women any longer.
No. That's right. No, and actually we do have some university students that sometimes join as well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So yes, they can basically just look on our website, cfuwkw.org, and there's contact information in there in terms of how to become a member, and we would certainly welcome anybody that's interested in joining. Our year is sort of coming to an end, so if they were interested now, they would probably be joining to start up in September with us, August or September.
Okay.
But no, we welcome new members. We've been actually very encouraged. The new members that we've got recently, a lot of them are joining because of the advocacy, their interest in doing advocacy
right.
work, and that's really heartening to see those that interest grow in the in our club.
Yeah.
So.
It's good to have an organization that can focus that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that as an individual, it's really difficult to be effective in advocating for any one particular cause. You need an organization behind you to make that effective. And I'm glad to see that CFUW is stepping up to do that.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's really an important part of our mandate.
So. Right. Mm-hmm. And this particular book sale, just remind us what the recipient organization is.
So it's CFUWKW Charitable Fund, which is a registered charity, and we provide over $60,000 of scholarships to students across Kitchener-Waterloo from high school up to graduate student.
So come out on Friday, April the 21st, and contribute to those scholarships by buying books.
Yes, be much appreciated.
All right, I think we have just about reached the end of our time here. So I want to thank you very much for coming in and spending an hour with me and talking about the CFUW book sale. It was on Friday. And then we'll see you on Friday and Saturday, 9 to 9 on Friday and 9 to 6 on Saturday.
9 to 1 on Saturday.
Yes, I know I've done that before. Come by a little bit too late and all we see is the books being taken away and can't buy any of them any longer. So get there on time before 1 o'clock on Saturday. You've been listening to CKMS Community Connections on Radio Waterloo. CKMS Community Connections is sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Associate producer is Jeff Steger. My name is Bob Jonkman. We'll be back next week, Monday, at 11 a.m.